The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know what that means?
Sex, relationships, and advice.
Every once in a while, I'll do an interview, just like, you know, kids in school that want to get into radio. So they're like, can I interview you for my radio broadcasting class? Sure. And they always ask the same question. What made you decide to get into radio? And you want to say, well, I think it's really important to connect with an audience and to be there for people live and messages for the world. And but the truth is, I was watching news radio and I was like, well, that job looks cool.
They really don't do anything all day. They just walk around and crack jokes. That's all they do.
And occasionally somebody goes into a booth. And somebody's in there smoking, and then that becomes the whole drama for the day. But I don't know. There was something about watching news radio. It's always been my favorite show. I love all the actors on it. I got really into the storylines, and I was like, huh, radio. That looks like fun. And that's the thing that got me into radio. But I wouldn't dare say that in an interview because, you know, you sound like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watched Frasier and I thought, well, that looks cool. You know what I mean? You want to be inspiring and say, well, you know, I got into radio because communicating with the world and entertaining people is very important. You want to have like a really good. But no, it was I saw news radio and I thought, wow, super cool.
Yeah, I didn't see a TV show or movie and say I want to get into that. I heard one DJ and I said I want to be like him. And he was a guy out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard him on the air, and I said, I want to be the next Peter B. That was my goal in life, to be the next Peter B.
Right.
So it wasn't a TV. I should have been a cop, as much Miami Vice that I used to watch, and all those stupid shows like that. But I never became a cop. I just heard the radio and said, that guy's cool. I bet he gets chicks.
So how's it working out for you?
It's going great. Peter B. now is a priest. He went into the priesthood.
Okay.
So he's not even in radio anymore.
But you never had a TV show or a movie or anything to influence you in any way, shape, or form in anything in your life? Like, you know what else influenced me other than news? I watched a lot of TV. I saw movies, too, but mostly it was like TV for me as a kid. Roseanne really influenced me because she was the star of her show.
Mm.
It was called Roseanne. She didn't take any crap from anybody, not from her kids, not from her boss, not from her husband. She was literally large and in charge. And I remember at the time thinking, like, I didn't know that women could be like that because my mom is like that. But I thought it's because, you know, she's a single lady and that's just single ladies. I mean, so I felt really inspired by her. I was like, wow, she's bawdy and ballsy and everybody still loves her. I was like, okay, maybe I can combine my two loves, you know, the news radio. So I love radio. And then being the woman, being the one person to do the job without someone else saying it's okay. Yes, you can do this job. Yes, you can have a personality. Yes, you could, you know, own your own identity. So I found her really inspiring.
Well, every time now that I walk into any store that has automatic doors, I will hold my hand up and use the force to open the doors. And when I walk out, I use the force and open the doors so I can walk out. So, yeah, I wanted to be a Jedi my whole life.
What job wasn't available for you now?
Yeah, I couldn't be a Jedi. So I had to settle for radio.
All right, help me out here, because Anthony doesn't seem to be inspired by much, but was there a movie or TV show that changed your life? Kind of like me, but not like Anthony at all. Nothing like Anthony.
Call now, 888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
The movie Parenthood did inspire me to never have kids.
Didn't he have like 15 kids?
Oh, it just, everybody in it had kids. That was the whole point. You know, Keanu Reeves, remember, and Martha Plimpton were like teenagers having a kid. And then there were older people having kids and younger people and divorced people. It was a mess. And I was like, wow, that looks really difficult. And there's this one scene, where like Steve Martin and Mary Steenburgen are talking about how overwhelming it is for them. And they have this kid that has anxiety disorder. And then they realize that parenting is kind of like being on a roller coaster, and then they actually mimic being on a roller coaster, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting nauseous, I'm gonna vomit. Like, no thank you. I understand this is very charming, and people that have children are probably like, yes, that's us, babe. I felt the opposite. I was like, that job
get
looks
off of
impossible.
Me. Get off me.
Get off me. Exactly.
Now, I gotta say that a TV show did change my life.
Oh, right.
I mean, come on. I bought an Escalade because Tony Soprano had an Escalade.
See, there you go. I knew there was a TV show that changed your life.
Yeah, I wore suits because Tony Soprano wore suits.
Right. You made this your personality.
Everything about it. So this
everything
was,
about the Sopranos. Right. Yeah. It's true. What's something that inspired you, Thomas?
Hey, Cooper. How's it going?
Good. Now, what is something that inspired you?
All right. Well, you guys are going to laugh. And it's not that I necessarily always thought he was right, because there were sure some statements that were way off center. Mm-hmm. But something that's just missing today is the ability to say what's on your mind. And a lot of times there are those profound statements that need to be made, but everybody's worried about who they're going to offend. And
right.
The one person in the past that always comes to mind who just said it, whether it was right or wrong, was Archie Bunker on All in the Family.
That's true. That's true. Hey, I mean, he was known as, like, America's favorite bigot.
Well, and that's just it. You know, there's so many things now that are wrong with the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a statement, you're going to offend this group or that group. And nobody, we've come to this just point of there is no consequence for your action. There is no relative course to take when someone makes a mistake. No mm-hmm. one will admit to their faults or anything else. And if more people had that mentality that it needs to be said, it's going to be said, and it doesn't matter who we offend because this is what we have to have,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have the issues that we have now. So I wish there were more people like Archie Bunker.
Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know, you think this is so stupid, Anthony, that I'm inspired by television, but, you know, did you know that Aerosmith's song Walk This Way was inspired by the movie Young Frankenstein?
Was it really?
Yeah, Steven Tyler had talked about it. The whole band had talked about it before, I think, to Spin Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, this scene in it where... Do you ever see Young Frankenstein?
No.
It's kind of a classic, Mel Brooks, whatever. There's a scene where he says, walk this way, and it's like he walks kind of a crazy way. And they were like, that phrase is awesome.
Oh. Walk this way.
Yes.
And they would walk a certain way.
Exactly.
Oh, now that makes sense.
Right. So that's what they said inspired the lyrics to the song.
That and cocaine.
Right.
Groupies, cocaine, and Young Frankenstein.
And the fact that they could be rock stars and make a buttload of money off of that song. Hey, Ronald, what movie inspired you?
Well, I saw a movie back in the early 80s called An Innocent Man with Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an aircraft mechanic. And I was 20 years old, and I thought, that looks like a really cool job to work on airplanes.
Hmm.
And so I investigated it, figured out how to go to school, went to school, and just before we graduated, the aircraft industry tanked.
Oh no.
So I've never gotten to work on airplanes, but it's gotten me every job I've had since. And, now, almost 20 years later, I teach kids how to work on cars, which has been basically my career since. And so it's kind of fun to be able to put back into it what I got out of it early on in life. So,
and isn't that interesting? Because of all the movies you saw back then, there was something about that one that spoke to you. Something about that moment of what he did for a living that you thought, that, I mean, you know, because there were other movies you could have seen, like, I don't know, Mrs. Doubtfire, Three Men and a Baby.
I didn't want a baby back then.
Right, and, you know, you didn't want to be a drag queen, yet you chose, you know.
But, no, it was when you talk about the word inspiring, that was, there's something there that you couldn't put your finger on, but it was like, I want to do that.
Right,
and
you made a connect. It's like you walk away, you feel connected to that movie in some way.
Yeah, my wife still hates it, too.
888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Putting on a brand new show.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Yeah, I wonder how many people saw, like, House and became a doctor.
I think the opposite. If people saw House and probably were like, ugh, I was going to go to medical school, but that, ugh.
No, because
that was really hairy.
We thought we were doctors when House was on. If you told us what was wrong with you, we could tell you how to fix it.
Broad spectrum antibiotics. That's all you have to say every single time. Is it lupus? No.
That's what it is. Guillain-Barré, and you need to, we knew exactly what every ailment was.
Well, I think the movie that changed our lives was Idiocracy.
Oh, yeah. It changed the way
we made
we
that
talk.
Our personality for the whole first time we did this show, the first incarnation of the show years ago.
If you haven't seen Idiocracy, you have to watch it now.
We made that a criteria to work on the show. Anytime we had somebody interview for the show or send a resume, we'd be like, we won't even consider you till you've seen Idiocracy.
Yeah, if you don't watch it at least five times, you can't work here.
Right, you know, all of our references, they're from one movie.
Go right over your head. You have to go see this movie. And when it's done, watch it again. When it's done, watch it again.
Hey, Noah, is there a movie that inspired you?
I found Aaron Brockovich very inspiring, and the reason I found that one inspiring is because nowadays a lot of people think that you need a college degree to, you know, really get somewhere in life, and that movie really shows an ordinary person, if they have passion for something, they really can make a huge difference, you know, in their community or just in a person's life.
That, you know, if you really care enough that you could take that energy and you could make something happen.
That's right. And you don't need, you know, like I said, you don't need that college degree to really, you know, move yourself. Because I think the movie really showed that, you know, toward the end, you know, she got all this money and she became very successful. Mm-hmm. But she didn't need that college degree to do that.
Right. And she didn't go into it with that intention either. She just wanted to right a wrong.
That's right.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Bryce, tell us about a movie that changed your life.
When I was 10 years old, I saw a Bruce Lee movie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Bruce Lee?
Of course.
The martial arts? Anyway, it inspired me to train in martial arts, and that was like 32 years ago, and I began training in the martial arts, and now I have an Aikido Academy of Self-Defense, a martial arts school.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what was it about the Bruce Lee movie? Was it the moves? Was it the fact that he was so manly? Like, what was it about the actual I guess, art of karate that he does that inspired you?
Well, what it was, I was kind of like a big husky, I kind of hate to say fat, but I was a big husky fat kid. Mm-hmm. And I was picked on my whole childhood. And I went and saw a Bruce Lee movie, and I said, you know, if I could do what he could do, I could make these people leave me alone.
Interesting. And you did.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Thank you, Bryce. Yeah, I think that's...
And nobody picks on you now.
No one picks on you now.
No, everybody pretty much leaves me alone.
Call now, 888-460-6002.
Wait a minute.
What is this show?
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, and advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
So did Baywatch interest people into being a lifeguard?
No, I think Baywatch made us all anorexic. Baywatch changed my life. It gave me an eating disorder. I was like, I'll never look like that. Maybe if I stop eating, I will.
So it did influence you.
It did influence me, but not in a very good way, no. This is interesting. So the song Bad Moon Rising by Creedence.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Moon Rising was inspired by a 1941 movie called The Devil and Daniel Webster. And specifically the line, don't come round tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's bound to take your life. There's a bad moon on the rise. That is... literally picked right out of that movie.
I see bad times today.
Think what this song did for Creedence.
Well, I was going to say, look how much money they made off of this song, but they didn't make any money off of any song. Because their management.
Well, in theory, but
yeah.
No, well, their popularity. I mean, this song, remember, was in American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, how much money this song made for their management. We'll say that.
Right, okay. But it came out of a movie. Tanya, what show did you watch and it really inspired you?
I watched China Beach.
I remember that show.
I loved that show, and mm-hmm. It inspired me to become, I'm a nurse practitioner now.
Really? So you watched it and you thought, that looks like a cool life. I'm going to go check it out.
Well, it didn't look like the cool life, but it looked, I was in business at the time. I had already graduated college and was doing marketing for the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I need to do something special with my life. So I went back and became a nurse and then went on and became a nurse practitioner.
Wow. And you're still doing that to this day?
I am.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool. And the fact that you made the career change really shows your passion for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Thank you, Tanya. That's really cool. Thank you.
Call now.
888-460-6002.
And online at cooperandanthony.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sex Hour, an hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Victoria, what is your question for us?
I'm primarily attracted to Mexican men. I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and he said that I was fetishizing them. And to me, if that were the case, that seems like I'm being kind of racist. But I don't even know what fetishizing them would really entail. As far as I'm concerned, that's just my type, you know. Everyone, you know, is attracted to a certain type of person. If I was only attracted to tall people, would that be fetishizing them? So I'm a little, you know, questioning what exactly that means and wanting to make sure that I'm not, you know, doing anything inappropriate.
Yeah, fair question. Okay, so the difference between being attracted to a certain body type or skin color and fetishizing that type of man is this. If you're attracted to Mexican guys and they're just guys and you date them and you're normal with them, you don't say inappropriate things like call me mommy. Can I call you poppy? Like don't do stereotypes or don't objectify them in any way. Then that's just who you're attracted to. Anthony.
Suave.
Fetishizing an entire race is usually when the fetishizer is white and they're inappropriate with the object of their desire in a kind of racist way, even if it's positive. Even if you say, oh, I've always had a thing for Latinos, or you call them exotic or tell them how much you love George Lopez or tacos. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fetishizing and that's bordering on racist. If they're an object of sexual desire because of their race, and not because of who they are as individuals. That's what fetishizing is. Like, for example, if you know you just want to date a Mexican man, he has to be Mexican, and that's the only criteria, as opposed to you met a guy named Joe, you have a lot in common, he's really cool, you have sexual chemistry, oh, and he happens to be Mexican because that's who you're attracted to. If it's just because he's Mexican, then yeah, you are fetishizing them, and it is considered racist. By people who define what fetishizing a race of people would be. But if you attribute certain characteristics to a guy because he's Mexican, you know, objectifying him, even if it's positive, that's a problem. So saying that you want to date only Mexican men because of that group, because they're Mexican and they belong to some aspect of that racial identity, that is fetishizing them. So just dating a guy you happen to be attracted to, very cool guy, met this guy, his name is Miguel, that's all there is to it. As opposed to specifically looking for a Mexican guy, that's a problem. Which did give Anthony an excuse to play this song, so.
I will play this song every time you walk into a room with a guy.
Rico.
Is that racist?
No, it really is.
I like Mexican girls. Is that the
but
same?
Do you like them because they're Mexican?
Yes.
Or do you like girls?
I don't drink.
No, see, I'll tell you why that's not fair. You like all girls.
I do.
It's not like you only like Mexican girls. You like all hot women. It does not matter what race or ethnicity. You're an equal opportunity employer.
Call now, 888-460-6002.
Wait a minute.
What is this show?
The Cooper and Anthony Show. The Sex Hour.
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Your sex questions, our sex answers. Caroline, what's your question?
My boyfriend and I have been together for going on 4 years now. And I know he'll accept porn. It doesn't bother me at all. But today, I wasn't snooping or anything. I was looking for my paper on his computer to send to my teacher, and I looked under his recent images and saw a folder of a friend of his modeling pictures that he's been friends with is also his ex-girlfriend. Well, it's full of naked pictures of her, and it's not just one or two pictures. It's 80 pictures. And I wanted to know, am I in the right to be kind of upset by this, or should I just let it go and try not to be bothered by it?
Listen, I can't tell you what to be upset by. Your emotions are your emotions. I can tell you that I would not be upset by this because this is kind of like, it's literally like a serial killer who collects photos of people he's killed, you know, like trophies. He's been there. He's been to that place in the picture. He's been to that. That's a trophy of his. You know, she's a model, so she's out there. I don't know if she's on OnlyFans or whatever she's on, but you know, she's out there showing her stuff to the world, and he's like, been there. You know, here are all these photos of this woman and all of these men desiring her, but I've had her. It's more like a flex than anything else. He doesn't want to be with her. She's probably a nightmare, and her personality kept him away. So if he was going to be with her, he'd still be with her.
I still can't stand that. Oh, I was looking for something on his computer and just automatically went into the photo section of his computer.
Right.
How many times do we hear that? Stay off the guy's computer. Stay out of his phone. And guys, stay off her phone. Stay off her computer.
Yeah. Give people their privacy. You know, if he came and said to you, listen, I have feelings for my ex-girlfriend. I think she wants to be with me too. That's something to talk about. But you're right. I mean, I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt in my head. You know, sometimes like you open up a photo file and then you open up everything over it and then you don't know that it's behind all the other files. So I'm going to say that maybe that's what happened. She went to close out of her file and that's what popped up. But the fact that she knows that there's 80 photos means that she counted them. Yeah. Or she looked at the number on the bottom of the thing.
One, two. She looked at every single one, counted them, and how many times. Oh, I accidentally turned his computer on. It doesn't accidentally happen.
Putting on a brand new show.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, advice, the sex hour. Cooper will answer your questions because she's a psychologist.
What's going on, Hannah?
I'm an intensely religious person. I'm a Zen Buddhist, and I'm single. And I've noticed that every time I have an intense sexual experience with someone, and intense in the sort of normal way, to the point of like orgasm or sexual pleasure or whatever, I have an experience that can only be described as like an experience of God. It's somehow intensely spiritual for me, and I'm not too concerned about what's happening. I think it's kind of like a fetish where some part of the brain that governs sex is intertangled with the part that controls spirituality. But my question is, what do I do?
I've told chicks many times, I'll make you see God. So I think I once dated this girl.
Denise, I'd make you see God.
The part of your brain that controls the spirituality is called the parietal cortex. The part of your brain that controls sexuality is the temporal lobe. They are not on top of each other. So I don't know who told you that there's a brain connection there, but it's okay. It doesn't have to be a brain connection. And what's there to do? Nothing. Why would you do anything? You know, for some people, an orgasm is not just the end result of an intense arousal and sexual tension. It's an opportunity to bond with our partner on an energetic and spiritual level for some people. You know, orgasm, whether male or female, alone or with a partner, could be like, it just involve everything, the self, the mind, the body, the soul. I mean, some people really get deep when it comes to having an orgasm. They make it feel like a spiritual thing and not just a physical reaction. I mean, look at people who cry during sex, right? I mean, orgasms can be emotional. And then in Eastern philosophy, orgasms are internal and they're external. They call it implosion and explosion. So the explosion is the obvious one, the having the orgasm, the semen, that whole thing. That's obvious. But the implosion part of the orgasm is the part that restores and nourishes the body, which it does, but also the soul, depending on what you believe in. So what's there to do? Nothing. Enjoy your orgasms and have your spiritual awakening every time you have one.
Wait, you make people see God?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
It's Cooper and Anthony.
Okay, ready?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Coming up, she is still living with the boyfriend that she broke up with, and she's wondering, can you do that? Like, how do you negotiate the living together while you're no longer dating thing? And a dude and his friend went to a strip club and want to know, was that stripper trying to hustle them? We'll talk about that next on the Sex Hour.
No, they never do, do they?
The Sex Hour.
What is that?
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
A whole hour.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I love when we do the Sex Hour because I love my opportunity to be the psychologist I went to school to study to be. So thank you guys for calling and asking your questions. Natalie, what's your question?
Hi. Recently broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years. We were engaged. We decided to call off the engagement. And then after we looked at everything, we realized that we didn't really want to get married in the end. And there was really, our relationship wasn't going to go anywhere. We'd just be dating to date for a while. And so we broke up completely after breaking off the engagement. Everything was mutual. Like, we both agreed about it. Mm-hmm. We both weren't very angry at all. Nothing like that. Both very happy with each other still. Want to be friends. The problem is that we live together in a one-bedroom apartment. And it's getting kind of hard to deal with, and I don't know if I should move out or not. He wants to be roommates and switch off nights on the couch and the bed, but I don't quite know if I can do that.
Okay, so a lot of couples end up living together after, let's say, a divorce or a breakup because they have no choice. They bought a house together. They can't afford to live on their own. There are kids. This isn't that. You're asking, should I move out? You don't have to stay there. Of course you should move out. Of course you shouldn't switch sleeping on the couch. You know, you have options. You don't have to stay. So, yes, not only should you move out because it is the right thing to do, you deserve to have a bed and your own space. Staying in the environment of somebody that you just broke up with after being together for 2 years is super unhealthy for you. Even if you guys are the best of friends and you're super close afterwards, living together after you've broken up is going to be problematic. I don't care who you are. At some point, he is either going to have a girlfriend who's going to come over and say, I'm not cool with the fact that your ex still lives with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to have a guy come over and he's going to be jealous. And then, so who gets the bedroom? Do you put a sock on the door? I mean, this is going to curtail all of your sexual activities. What if you want to just bring home random guys that you meet at class or a club or a bar or wherever, or the gym, wherever? You can't do any of that stuff because you have him there to answer to. It's like living with your dad, but worse, because you're not related to this guy and you're staying there for what?
I saw those TV shows that people put tape down the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And they have one side and you can't cross the tape. And you have, I think you could do that.
Down the bed? Down the middle of the bed?
Down the middle of the bed, down the middle of the kitchen, the middle of the refrigerator. Just keep the line right there and never cross it. Half the toilet. You only get half the toilet.
Sit sideways. Sit side saddle. You don't get the whole toilet.
You're over the line.
Call now.
888-460-6002.
And online at cooperandanthony.com. The Sex Hour.
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex Hour time.
Jack, what's your question? What happened?
So last night, we go to this strip club, right? Long story, but we end up getting there, and we are enjoying ourselves, and one of the strippers comes up to us, and she's a very attractive, very personable young lady, and we strike up a conversation, and but we're talking for a while, and then she gets called up to dance, and so we go and watch her dance, and then we come back and sit down at the bar where we were, and then she comes back and sits down at the bar where we are and talks to us for a long, long time more. She tells us her real name, and then we buy her a drink and we leave. Now, were we getting hustled? At no point in the time did you know, she ask us to, you know, buy a dance, do anything. And me and my buddy are of two minds about this. He says we were getting hustled. I say we weren't.
Yeah, you were.
What's the hustle?
I wouldn't call it a hustle. Okay, here's what it is. So You're right. She didn't ask you for money or try to get you to buy lap dances. But, you know, there are strippers who want to give their customers the girlfriend experience. And that keeps them coming back. They treat you like we would date, you know, in another environment, like I would date you. They tell you their real name. They make you feel like you kind of know them. And you know, they also make you feel like you have kind of a bond with them. So maybe you'll come back again and spend more money there, you know. So, but remember, she's at work. They get bored like anyone else. They're human. They may want to make a real connection with somebody. That's an opportunity to do that. And that's a possibility. I guess the other possibility is that maybe there was like a super creepy guy on the other side who was bothering her and you guys seemed uncreepy. So she came over to talk to you to avoid him. That's definitely a possibility. But for the most part, you know, that's how she makes her money. She befriends guys, forms a bond with them to keep them coming back. So you could both be right. Your gut will tell you and your gut is saying that it wasn't genuine. So if that's what your gut is saying, you know, that's her job. Her job is to be personable and likable. When I was a bartender, you know, do you think I wanted to walk over and talk to every single person who sat down at my bar? No, I was extra friendly. I got to know them. I knew their name. I told them my name. I memorized all their drinks because I wanted them to feel like this was a comfortable place and they felt like they would come back and see me, see their friend Cooper. You know,
you slept with all of them. Every single one of them.
A couple of them. But but I created an environment where they would come spend money and tip me, and I made more money that way. So I wouldn't call it a hustle. She was at work, and she was doing her job, and she did it well. Because now you might be more inclined to go back. Look, you went and watched her dance, and you bought her a drink. So she already hooked you. But I wouldn't say it's a hustle. I would say you went to a strip club, and the person working there did their job.
I never thought about the long-term hustle. I only was thinking about the short-term. You know, what did she get other than good conversation? But you're right. She wants them to come back.
Right.
And I always fell for that.
Yeah. You know her real name is Elizabeth and not Cinnamon. So you're going to go back and see your friend Elizabeth.
And I did go back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex.
Yes, please.
Relationships.
Yeah.
Advice.
Are you ready?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
When you start a job, what kind of questions do you ask? Or if you're at the job interview,
mm-hmm.
and at the end they go, anything you want to know about the job here, or the culture, or the environment. Do you ever have like a good question to ask at the end?
I do, and it's so cheesy, and it's one that I know bosses love. I always say, okay, at the end of year one, what do you want to see out of this position?
Oh, that's a great question.
See, and it's my go-to, and I don't really care the answer.
Right.
Just, I think I read it somewhere. That's a good question to ask. But, I mean, you really want to ask them, you know, how long is lunch? And
yeah.
What happens if I take an extra 10 minutes for lunch? Am I going to get in trouble?
I mean, my first question is always the same. Where is the studio in respect to the bathroom?
Well, that's
always
important.
My question. I need to know, yeah. Because it's been an issue. I've been at radio stations where the men's room is right outside the studio. The woman's room is like two floors down the hall, around the back. It's like, but what if I have to go to the bathroom while I'm on the air? Can I play Led Zeppelin four times in a row? Like, what option do I have?
And if they have one of those studios where you can't eat or drink in the studio,
mm-hmm.
you can't work there. Because you can't go a whole shift and not eat or drink. You can't.
Oh, that's so cute. So you think just because they say don't eat or drink in the studio, I'm not going to eat or drink in the studio. Aw, that's so cute. No, I eat and drink in the studio anyway. I have had bosses come in and see me with coffee and water and seltzer and snack and yogurt, and I have a whole thing set out, all my all my snacks. Like, no, I have to eat. I have low blood sugar. I have to, it's a medical condition. I could get you a doctor's note if you'd like.
I can't go 5 hours and not eat. This is impossible. She cannot do it. She will go on. Okay, if we go on the air, 15 minutes later, she's eating. 15
right.
minutes.
I eat like 4 times during this show.
How long is this song? 5 minutes. Okay, I can go make
okay,
my
good.
Food.
I have time for a sandwich. Yeah, I mean, they say that you should ask questions that are like job specific, like what you said, what are the expectations for me in this role? Or do we work with other departments? And if so, how? Mm. You know, you should ask questions like about the culture. What's the culture here?
Do I have my own parking spot? Is there going to be somebody parking next to me in my parking spot?
My favorite thing is when you and I got this job, they're like, okay, let's talk to you guys about vacation time. We're like, yeah, we don't have to worry about that. No, will you guys get vacation? I'm like, yeah, we've never taken a vacation. No, but you will because you take a vacation. Then seriously, we can just move on to the contract signing because we have never been on vacation in all the years we have worked. We have never taken our vacation days.
No, I think over the past, I don't know, 5 years that we've done this show, or 4 years, whatever it's been, I think we took 2 days off.
Right, Christmas.
Christmas and Thanksgiving.
And that's it.
No, I think we even worked Thanksgiving.
No, we did, actually. We did work Thanksgiving. You're right. Because you know why? Because we had all those great sweepers about turkeys.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to just not do those.
No, we might take off Christmas. Then again, we might not. We might come
I don't know.
In.
We have some really funny Christmas sweepers. So.
Okay, so we have to go to work. So we're never taking a day off.
We're never taking vacation.
Sex, relationships,
and advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You want to hear some secrets from some strippers?
Of course I do.
All right, so this one woman said that she stripped for about 3 years when she was in her 20s to, you know, the cliche to pay off student debt. She said she became pregnant with her daughter, and during that time, she kept stripping, and she said she made double, sometimes triple the money because there were guys that were really into the pregnant stripper thing.
No way.
Yep, she said it brought out the fetishists, the people that fetishized women who were pregnant. She said she couldn't, had it not happened to her, she would have never believed it. She was like, I should have done this sooner. I could have made way more money. So, you know, when you always wonder, like if you are ever at a strip club and you see a girl dancing and people are handing her money, you're like, do they have sex? Will they do things for extra money? Hmm. And some of them will and some of them won't. But some of the women that do are the ones that have told some of the wildest stories. This woman said that she'd been stripping at this point for 2.5 years, and they had this private VIP room, and she had this guy that would pay her thousands of dollars to stand on his scrotum in her heels. That's all he wanted.
Can imagine him going to the strip club and her not being there that night. Oh, can somebody else stand on my scrotum?
Oh, here's my favorite one. So here's this girl. She was stripping and she looked out and saw her dad's best friend at the strip club. And he was there watching her and went over her and said, I will give you $20,000 to have sex with me. This is her dad's best friend.
Oh.
And she did it.
Of course she did it. That's good money.
$20,000 to have sex with your dad's best friend?
Okay, would you?
No, because then I'd have to see him again.
It's like $5,000 a minute.
I guess that's true. It really didn't last all that long.
What, you that rich? You can pass up $5,000 a minute?
$20,000. All she had to do is have sex with her dad's best friend. I don't know.
You've done worse.
No, but it's my choice. This is a guy that I'd have to see again. It's your dad's best friend. Your dad.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you see your dad's best friend? You don't see him that often. Once a year.
I guess that's true. Not that often. That's a good point.
It's worth $5,000 a minute.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I love the fact you think the whole thing takes 4 minutes. did you know that strippers really hate bachelorette parties? That's their least favorite thing when bachelorettes show up and they want to they go, hey, give her a lap dance. They tip the least. They're not repeat customers. They think the whole thing is a joke, you know, and the strippers that end up having to do the bachelorette party kind of feel, I don't know, condescended to in a way. It's not the most pleasurable environment. Once in a while, you get women who actually enjoy other women. Mm-hmm. So there's actually like some pleasure to it. But for the most part, they feel like party favors. It's not their favorite thing.
That's funny that women tip less than guys.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice.
Right now.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Coming up, French fries are delicious, but they're also evil. I'll tell you why. And we've heard of sprawl, like my butt, over the course of us doing the show and radio. But there's something new called wedding sprawl, and you're going to be really angry when you hear about it.
Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You can't talk crap about French fries.
I'm going to talk crap about French fries.
What French fries do to you?
Okay, I've got a couple of odd stories for you. And the first one is about French fries, that science has found that French fries make people sad.
When they're not warm and crispy. When they're soggy and cold.
French fries cause depression. It's not when they're cold and it's not when the plate is empty. Researchers found that there's something about fried potatoes. Frying potatoes in the oil they get fried in is linked to a 12% higher increase in depression compared to people who don't eat them. Fried foods in general are believed to increase feelings of depression in addition to being fueling obesity and high blood pressure, which also may have a reason why you're getting depressed.
No, I disagree 1,000%. I'm so much happier once I have a large fry.
You're happier when you eat fries.
I want fries now. Now that you said fries, I want fries. I'm depressed because I don't have fries.
There is a house in Orlando, Florida that is going viral right now because it's a vacation home and every single room in it has a theme of a board game from when you were kids, like in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So, for example, there's one room that has a hospital feel with a giant game of Operation on the wall. Another one looks like the game of Risk.
Mm-hmm.
The whole room looks like Risk. And there's one decked out floor to ceiling in Twister dots, including the bedspread, which you can put on the floor and actually play Twister. The place is called The Great Escape. And not only is there a wait list, there's a wait list just to get on the wait list.
Because it's so much fun at the end of the night to say, you sank my battleship.
And here's one more story for you. If you think sitting on a plane next to somebody with bare feet is gross. Okay, I know that's gross. I know it happens a lot. An American Airlines passenger used his seatmate as a urinal. Now, when I heard this story, I thought maybe like the guy was sleepwalking and he stood up and opened his pants and peed on his seatmate, like thinking he was in the bathroom or something. No, the two travelers got into an argument, but instead of throwing a punch, he just pulled it out and peed on the other guy.
Is that against the law? Can you not do that?
I think that's assault. It's assault with a with a wet weapon. Yeah, he was arrested at the airport. And the FAA says that it happened two other times.
No.
This is the third time this has happened on this very flight.
No. What is it about that flight?
It's going from New York to New Delhi. And there must be some cultural thing that throwing a punch is not the real insult. The way to really insult somebody is to whip it out and urinate on them. Yeah.
They're
like, I love how like the FAA is like, oh, this again.
Never go to, well, I don't even know where New Delhi is, so I don't plan India. To ever go there.
It's in India.
I don't believe you, but okay.
Sex, relationships, advice.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Well, since we're not really in the wedding mode, we don't really have a lot of friends that are getting married anymore. Occasionally, you may run into somebody getting married these days or having a second wedding. And there's something new happening in the world of weddings that I wanted to tell you about. It's referred to as wedding sprawl. And it's exactly what it sounds like. So it used to be one day you'd open up an envelope And the people would say, hi, we're getting married. Here's the date. We'd love for you to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You put that on your calendar. You buy a dress. You show up. You go to a wedding. Try not to leave early. And that's that. Now, everything involved with a wedding has a party. There is a proposal party. That's becoming a really big thing, that people will get engaged and then not an engagement party. That's separate. They would have on the actual day of the proposal, they have family and friends and a bunch of people waiting in the wings or waiting at a restaurant. So like, you know, your betrothed will take you to a beach, get down on one knee, and then you turn around and there's like hundreds of your friends for the proposal. Then there's the engagement party, which is once you are engaged at some point, once you set a date for the wedding, you have the engagement party. Then there's a whole series of bachelorette parties, bridal showers, co-ed bridal showers, co-ed bachelorette parties. There's a bachelorette weekend, which is getting longer and longer. It used to be like you would just go for one night. Now it's like a whole vacation people are taking together. And then you've got the ceremony and the reception, which is bookended by welcome drinks, a rehearsal dinner, and a morning after brunch.
And then the baby shower, and then it just keeps on going and going. This is the reason right here I don't have friends.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is, and it doesn't even end there. We have friends that just got married. We're like, are you guys going on a honeymoon? No, we're going on a mini moon.
Mm-mm.
So, okay, yeah, I know. So after they get married, they leave the wedding and they go somewhere for a night or two nights. Mm-hmm. That's the mini moon. So that way they've celebrated the wedding by going somewhere and doing something after all that, all those parties. And then a few weeks later or a month later or whatever, there's an actual honeymoon.
But do I have to celebrate that?
Well, what a lot of couples are doing now is they're doing something called an early moon.
See, I'm done. I'm out.
And the early moon
out
is when you take your wedding party and you go
everybody
on a honeymoon with everybody before the wedding. It's called an early moon.
If you have an early moon life, just take this. Unfriend me right now. I don't know. Will you come to my mini? What? No.
No, you're not invited to the mini moon, but you are invited to the early moon.
I didn't. No.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Beverly is here. She has a crazy I almost died story. What happened?
I was 14 years old, and I always hung out with the older people, older girls and guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we were riding in a car. And I've never missed a day in school in my life. So I'm in the ninth grade, never missed a day, 1 to 9. And they decided in the back, who were older, that they're going to get married. So I told them, I said, listen, guys, I got to go home because I've got school the next day. So we're riding down this road. Now, I went to sleep. My knees are on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the car started swaying off, and I see my girlfriend in the back reaching up to grab the steering wheel, but she missed. We went off a 50-foot cliff.
Whoa.
I'm in the passenger side. Yeah. And when I awoke, the pain was excruciating. We had ambulances there, which took us, of course, to the emergency room. I broke both my legs, cracked my spine, cracked my pelvis, had a tracheotomy, blood clot in the brain concussion, convulsions every 45 minutes, and in a coma for a week, and I died 3 times.
Whoa.
Wow.
Is this what you were told later?
Oh, yeah. I remember waking up, and the ambulance is up top, and they're like, whoa, they're down here. I said, get me. I'm in so much pain. So I got to go to the hospital first, of course. But then I blacked out and I don't remember. And that's, that's when I went into the coma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I was in traction for about 9 weeks in a body cast for like 12 weeks. And the doctor told me I would never walk again. Now, you don't tell a 14-year-old they'll never walk again. My left femur was broken twice because once we went down, my feet went down off the dashboard and the seat came up, and that's how my femurs got broken. My left leg was only broken once. So he said, your legs are probably never going to be the same size. So when I went to get the cast off after all this, my legs had grown back the same and I was walking. So
it's not like you only had the broken legs. You had everything else going on. And I love the fact that that you had to be at the hospital first. I'm sorry. Ladies first. Out of my way.
No, I'm waiting on you.
Do you still have dreams about falling?
Not really.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I had a hangnail a couple of weeks ago, and I still wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
I have dreams of my divorce, but not falling.
I love how that was more traumatic than breaking your entire body.
Exactly.
Would you rather go through that again or go through a divorce again?
I'd rather have my legs broken.
Reach us on CooperandAnthony.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.